So Joshua, one of the things that I've heard every so often from people is they themselves, or they remember an older member of their family who was told explicitly not to read the Bible from a priest or something like this. And there's a lot of history to that that I'm going to do shortchange just really briefly. But part of this had to do with Protestant-Catholic debates after the Reformation. Part of this is the reality that through most of the church's history, most people couldn't read. So they really did receive their scripture orally or visually. But I think one of the things that happened is there was a sort of overreaction, and the idea was that now that we're supposed to read the Bible, we're supposed to read it like you were talking about, academically or dryly, or they rebel the other way, and it's just supposed to be emotive, individual, and personal. What about the saints and what we can look back to is a corrective about all of those misunderstandings about Catholics' relationship to Scripture?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, I would go back to the point about the liturgy, because really it's the liturgy that is the habitat, if you will, the natural and supernatural habitat of sacred Scripture. But the saints had this understanding of Scripture that was so... it was so integral that between their knowledge of sacred Scripture and their intimacy with Christ, that they wouldn't have set up that false separation. I think in the times in which we live, there are biblical scholars who really don't have this connatural relationship with Christ through sacred Scripture. And what they're really pursuing is... not really knowledge and love of the Lord through sacred Scripture, but somehow trying to get behind the text to understand everything leading up to that. But I think the way we can return to what the saints are calling for is simply by a prayerful reading of sacred Scripture and really letting it just imbue us and our worldview. So I think... there are so many great resources that are available right now for Catholics to help them in their growing in knowledge and love of sacred Scripture. But it's good, I think, to be discerning about how we approach sacred Scripture. So I don't know if that answers your question.
I think this certainly goes in the right direction. One thing that is a sort of myth about the Catholic Church is that we just suffered under 1,000-plus years of people being ignorant of Scripture, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Gutenberg Bible came around and everybody, you know, the gig was up or something like this. But if you go back and look, medieval culture was infused with the stories of Scripture, and I think that starts to be something that that might be important for people to keep in mind. Even the Bible as written was written by a primarily oral culture, so that people really did go and proclaim. And when you talk about the liturgy being the natural habitat, it's not only that it's the natural habitat for worship, but this idea of hearing, of it, that, sure, these are all stories we've all heard, but to hear the priest stand and say the gospel, to proclaim it, that there's something... about that that's important to remember, so that when we read it prayerfully and we talk about meditating on Scripture, we're not just asking people to think, you know, really hard. What we're asking them to do is to, and I think sometimes people go, what do you mean pray Scripture? Well, we're asking for them to be as silent as possible and in their reading hear the word proclaimed, to hear Christ speaking in both testaments.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would definitely agree with that. You know, Pope Benedict wrote a marvelous document called Verbum Domini, the Word of the Lord. And in that document, he talks about recovering this practice of Lectio Divina. And I think what he's trying to hit on is that we've lost the capacity to hear sacred Scripture. I think with academic studies of sacred Scripture, what can happen is that we can tend to try to control sacred Scripture. And what I mean by that is we we try to kind of make it fit. But Lectio Divina is very much kind of the opposite. We're receptive to the Word of God. We have ears open to hear the Word of God. And, you know, one of the things that just a practical step that we can do is that when we read sacred scripture, that we actually speak it in our hearts, in our minds. And we're not only hearing the Word of God, but we're speaking it, so that it really does become a dialogue with God. You know, we're not just seeking to understand the text in itself. We're trying to understand, you know, what is God revealing through this, and then specifically, how does this apply to my life?
And it's like we've been saying this whole theme of this podcast. If you don't know how to do this, well, you emulate the people who do it well, and this is the saints. And just so people think that you don't need to necessarily go buy, you know, an entire library of early church fathers, there's saints in the New Testament that show us how to do this. St. Paul himself is frequently echoing the Old Testament. But I think about the book that we're on right now, Acts. The sermons in the book of Acts are again and again the earliest saints, these apostles, talking about showing us what it's like to have a dialogue with the Old Testament. And all you need to do is look at St. Peter's very first sermon right after Pentecost, and he does it. He talks about the interpretation from the psalm about David said to his Lord. Well, right there is Lectio Divina, essentially. I mean, I know he's doing it a sermon, mm-hmm. but in a small way, look at him prayerfully consider what the psalm said and how it applies to his life and the life of the apostles in that situation. And so the Bible itself has demonstrations about how the saints prayed scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to kind of touch on that a little bit more, one of the keys for the saints in their approach to sacred scripture was they read it as one whole. That is, the Old Testament and the New together. And there's a saying from St. Augustine that the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New. And the technical term we use for that is typology, so that there are certain stories, there's images, there's characters in the Old Testament that foreshadow elements that come to fruition in the New. And even Jesus himself, John chapter 6, refers to himself as the true manna from heaven. And what is he doing? But he's pointing back to the Old Testament, to the manna that God provided to the Israelites on their way to the promised land out of Egypt. And he's saying, what that foreshadowed, I came to fulfill. I am the true food. I am the true bread, and I will give you true life. And we find that all throughout the New Testament, that the biblical writers, when they read and interpret the Old Testament, they always read it in relation to Christ and how Christ is the fulfillment of that. And of course, in the book of the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says that he explained the scriptures to them in reference to himself. And so, you know, that is a pattern that we've had within the church from the very earliest days all the way up to the present.
Yeah, and to cap this off with the book of Acts, St. Philip explains to the Ethiopian eunuch the gospel with the prophecy of Isaiah. So, Lectio Divina, and again, I know that we can be technical, but this idea of the prayerful reading of Scripture as the saints have done it, don't let anybody tell you different. This isn't an innovation. This is the profoundly biblical way to read the Bible itself.